Welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. I'm with both Robbie and Tom. How you doing, fellas?
Hello!
I'm good, thanks.
We're doing this via Zoom, like everyone else is doing during the time of Corona. We're doing a three-way hosting show. How you doing, Tom, first? What's going on over in the southwest of England, Tom?
Been really, really busy. Really busy. Considering nobody's allowed too far from their own home, it's been incredibly busy. Obviously, people wanting training plans changed and, you know, goals to be reformed and everything with everything in spring being cancelled. But also governing body work, just going really, 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 really busy, trying to do conferences and Q&As. And everybody suddenly worked out that if you use digital technology, you can kind of massively increase the density of work people do for the same money. So no, it's all good. All good stuff. So actually, bizarrely, been really, really busy. So I'm chatting to lots of runners. So it's all good.
Yeah. I was thinking I wouldn't mind this lockdown period if it wasn't for the fact that I am a father. It changes the dynamic, doesn't it, really, being stuck inside, not being able to do anything with a child running about. It makes everything a whole lot more difficult.
Chloe's been getting in and around all the home exercise equipment and exercise bands and all that stuff.
I mean,
How are you, Robbie?
We're not allowed out of the house, really. So, you're locked down, but not locked down, because you can go out for your government-mandated one exercise a day or whatever it is. I'm exercising on my balcony on the turbo. I'm enjoying. Really? I'm like Tom said, there's plenty to keep doing. My work life is from home anyway, so just carry on working.
Just the same, except you're not popping out for a coffee down the local gelateria or whatever you want to go down
some
and
issues.
Have a coffee.
I imagine people will be shouting from their windows. The local town is on lockdown. It's proper lockdown. Nothing's open. There's a supermarkets nearby, but the shops and stuff, the cafes, the little cake shop, the pizzeria, it's all closed. Come on, dog.
Oh, Jesus. What about Natalie? Is she managing to keep training?
Natalie's been using the turbo as well. And we've got to take Rosa out, our dog, so because we live in a four-floor apartment, so you can't just let her wee on the balcony. So, she's taking Rosa out, and that allows both of them to stretch their legs a little bit. Within walls.
How far can they go, though? Can they go, like, 200 metres from the house? That's what Spain are doing, aren't they?
Government mandate is 200 metres from the house. Fortunately, we have a trailhead and trail 200 metres from the house. So you can get the trailhead, run along it a bit, back if she's doing it, going up and down that. It's, like, a couple of the local runners are running a loop on that trail, which goes a bit further. But I feel that they're not actually doing any damage by doing that. It's not like they're kind of going out together or it takes them through a cramped area. So I suppose it is using a bit of common sense, dare I say.
Yeah. I'm not loving it because people are dying. That's not a very nice thing to say. Is it like a bit trite? But I'm enjoying the running here. I'm getting to run up a hill. I've just been running up and down this. I've been doing some 5-minute hill reps around the corner from me. Set by Coach Martin. So that's been fun. Listening to a bit of grime while running up hills is always a nice thing to do on a Thursday morning, which has been good. So yeah, it's been brilliant. And long way.
What's this grime? Tommy, you a grime man?
I think I just needed a little bit of aggression. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it just to snap me out of my usual placidness. So I think I've been putting on a bit of grime to get me all hyped up. So that has been good.
I recommend it.
I'm good with grime. I'm all over grime. I think I'm probably listening to a watered down version of grime. But anyway, it's been good. I'm loving running hills. It's so nice to get a bit of up and down rather than in Amsterdam when there's nothing but a flat road to run on. So, yeah, it's been pretty good so far. Pretty good. But obviously, it's not, we should say, it is a bad time for everyone. And it's not as if, you know, being able to run is the least of the country and the world's problems right now. But hey, but we shouldn't be downbeat. We should try and bring a bit of positivity.
It is
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Against the rules.
No, exactly.
It's important to try and see the best of any situation. We could go on the death numbers, but I suppose, I mean, it looks like it's flattening out. We flattened the curve in Italy. Yay!
Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, really? Really?
Basically, the same amount of people are dying each day rather than more. Gradually, we feel that it's going to dip the curve and there'll be less people dying each day until we get to the point where just the normal amount of people are dying each day.
Have they put out like an estimate for the amount of time they suspect it's going to carry on? Have you like got an end in sight of this lockdown now?
They have, but I just can't put any weight on that. I'm taking it each week at a time and seeing what happens. They have put some dates out that are like end of April, beginning of May for end of pandemic in certain regions. But how they figured that out, I mean, this doesn't take... How can you take into account human behaviour whenever I know? Like, I feel it's a bit of a... Yeah, end of April, beginning of May, they've put some stuff like for certain regions, they're going to see the end of the pandemic. On one piece of information or research I've seen. But as for Italy, and we'll see.
Okay.
And then people out of a coffee as soon as they're given a chance. Lighten the restrictions, and the first reaction is everyone goes out for coffee and kisses each other. Therefore, find the number of cases again.
They love a bit of kissy in Italy, don't they? That's one of their favourite things.
Ciao.
But to lighten the loads, we're going to talk to James Turner in a minute. He's also spoke to you, Robbie, for an article on Fast Running, which we'll put a link up to. But James is going to talk about training during Corona. So he looked into the various studies that looked into this misconception that you can't train hard because it weakens your immune system. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that in a minute. But during this time, a lot of people are meeting up. They're socially isolated, but they're meeting up via the medium of Zoom. So we've done that now. And I've designed a quiz, right? A running-based quiz that I'm going to pitch Robbie and Tom off against each other on. And actually, you can join in yourself, okay? So this is an opportunity for you to join in our Let's Get Running Runners quiz. So the first round, excitingly, is I guess we're going to call it Who Am I? Right, so I'm gonna be thinking of a running celebrity. Actually, to give full disclosure, I guess I'm gonna be thinking of somebody that I have interviewed previously on the Let's Get Running podcast show. I'm gonna give you a series of facts. I'm gonna read out each one. You can stop me if you know who it is before the facts finish. Shout stop, Robbie or Tom. If you don't shout stop, I'll give each of you a chance to answer who you think it might be after each round. So you might as well have a guess. All right. That's the kind of, I guess your tip. I would always have a guess after each clue. Make sense so far? There's about 6 or 7 clues for each person. That's hopefully we're going to get through them before that.
You've got to tell Robbie to turn his Wikipedia off. He can't use his Wikipedia.
Whoa, what a horrible insinuation that I would cheat. Jesus, you are inside your head. You are the fountain of all knowledge. Like the fact that I've accepted this challenge against the man who knows everything. God, give me some credit. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to lose honour.
Or if not, you're going to do it on the sly anyway. Yeah. Right, are you ready? Let's get started. First one. Okay, this is a male man. Okay, this is a male man. He's a male gentleman. That wasn't a clue, but Robbie, you've got it. My God. I was going to say, let me just read a few more. He was. Yeah.
He was on the tip of my tongue, but I want them to have a chance to do it. Indicative of Robbie's kind of disrespect. It's why he doesn't live in the UK. No respect. No respect to the audience.
Here's some of the clues I would have read out, but Robbie got in there too quick. I was born in Leeds in 1945. I was runner-up in the 1969 Northern Cross Country. One of my training partners is a famous TV broadcaster. I went to the Commonwealth Games in 1970. I twice raced the European Athletics Championships. I had a hand in the coaching of 2 triathlete brothers, and my current crop of athletes includes a duck. There we go. That was Mike Baxter. Next one. I might not tell you if this is a man or a woman now. I'm just going to go with it. It's I do, actually. Okay, the first clue is I was born in Dundee in November 1990.
Callum Hawkins.
It's not Callum Hawkins.
You got a guess, Tom?
Butchart.
No. Second clue is I'm a female.
Eilish.
Any guesses?
Any guesses?
Did I miss you then, Robbie?
I said Eilish McColgan.
Oh, for fuck. You got it again. This is too easy. The other clues would have been, I am one of four children. I am taller than Al Pacino, Antonio Banderas and Joseph Stalin.
Combined.
That would have given the game away, I think.
Yeah. I've twice competed at the Summer Olympic Games and twice at the Commonwealth Games. I like steeplechase and I am the Scottish record holder and my mum was the best 10,000 metre runner in the world. This isn't going well. 2-0 to Robbie. He's 2-0 up. Are you on Wikipedia? Actually, these are too easy for Wikipedia. Okay, next question.
Basically, how would Wikipedia have helped me guess when you used to, all, the only clue on the first one was, he's a man.
Okay, next round. I was born in February 1983 in the US. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next question. Next one. Next clue. I live in a town called Golden.
Oh, Courtney DeWalter.
3-0, Robbie. Is that you got it again? Yeah. The next clues are, I used to be a science teacher before pursuing my running career full time. I love a good burger and I'm married to a man called Kevin. I once ran a race despite suffering temporary blindness. And I should have won Western States last year for the second year running, but a hip injury derailed my attempt.
The last two clues there to get that one, I think. So,
Robbie, you're smashing this. 3-0. How are you feeling, Tom?
Pretty bad, but at the same time feeling like probably just indicative of how much time Robbie has on his hands to just look on the internet and listen to previous podcasts. You know, like some of us.
All right, I listened to all the podcasts yesterday.
just to get ready for it all.
Next round, next person. I was born in November 1959 in Hampton, London.
Tim Hutchins.
It's not Tim Hutchins.
It's not Tim Hutchins.
That might have been a bit early.
Dave Bedford, no, it's not. I studied English literature at Loughborough University.
Steve Vernon,
1959? He will be a fan. What did he study?
English literature. 5, 4, 3.
Andy Lane.
No. My maiden name is Smith. So it's a female person. 5 seconds. 4.
Veronique Murdoch.
No. 2. 1. Okay. I was coached by Neville Taylor.
I met him on a train once.
Well, that helps. That helps. Well.
5 seconds.
Neville's coached a lot of people.
Yeah.
1959 from London.
I'm just trying to think of your older guests.
Here's another one. I was given an MBE in 2015.
Sarah Rao.
No.
She's probably younger than
that. Did Neville coach Wendy Sly?
Is that your guess?
That's my guess.
It's Wendy Sly! 3-1.
Welcome to the game, Tom.
Welcome to the game. His first points. It was a good guess. It was Wendy Sly. The other quiz I had were, I was one of the best 10K runners in the world. And I won the inaugural World 10-kilometer Championship. And the last cue was, I've lost it again. I ignored the Zola Bud and Decca Fracart to win a silver medal at the Olympics. So one more. Okay. I was born in August 1979.
Steve Vernon.
It's not Steve Vernon.
I'll chat something different then. Steve Jones.
No. 1979. Yeah. I stole my style from the best looking man in athletics, Sean Dixon.
I mean, there's so many.
I stole there. My style.
Best looking man in athletics. I can see your picture right now. Like,
here's another one. In 2014, I won the UK leg of the inaugural Red Bulls for Life. Red Wing Bull Wings for Life race.
Paul Martelletti.
Paul Martelletti is right. Tom's back in the game. It's 3-2. Which moves on to our next round, which is the excitingly named, I should have had a jingle for this, Farah or Farage. Right? So I've got some quotes from the boy Mo and from Nigel Farage. You've got to tell me who it is. You've got to shout in, shout stop, and you've got to shout in who you think it is. I'll read them out slowly. You just get one guess, obviously, because it's a 50% chance. Here we go. Number one, I don't listen to music. I don't watch television. I don't read. Who said that?
Stop. I don't need to say stop when you stop. I reckon that's Farah.
It's Nigel Farage. So I think you lose a point, Tom. You're down to 1-3-1. Here we go. Oh, actually, that's a bit harsh. We'll keep it 3-2. You just don't get the point for it. Here we go. Second one.
Okay, second one. Guess then, just straight away. Come on. You've got to have these rules.
Yeah, so, are we losing the point then? Okay, we're losing the point. Here we go. I work so hard for what I do. To achieve what I have has taken me half of my life. To be able to achieve what I've achieved.
Absolutely, Mo Farah.
It's got to be Mo Farah.
Yeah, it's Mo Farah. Point to Robbie. He's, yeah.
Farah. Farah's working hard as well. Get lost.
Yeah. Okay, next one. The only medication that I am on asthma. And I've had that since I was a child. That is just normal use.
that's Mo Farah. Thank you.
Back in the game.
Nice. Is it 4-2? I think it is. Here we go. Hopefully, through all aspects of life, you learn from things you've got right, things that you've got wrong. But I'm not one for looking back. I'm looking ahead. You've got to.
That's Farage, I reckon.
It's Farage. 4-3.
It sounds like one of those kind of neatly put together, saying absolutely nothing sort of quote. So spot on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Next one. President Donald Trump seems to have made me...
Farage.
No! It's Farah.
I'm the best mate.
It was when he banned him. Didn't he ban... I can't remember why he said that people from certain bits of Africa weren't allowed over there and that sort of thing. Yeah.
It was a trick question. It was a sneaky one.
And the last one, ready? My opponents are people who gave up our borders.
I think Robbie got in there, did you, Robbie?
Yeah. I've lost track of the score. I think it's 5-3.
I think we know that Robbie's won.
So we've got two more rounds to go. So this is basically, as you're behind, Tom, you get first go on this. Essentially, I'm going to give you an Olympic Games. You've got to decide, you've got to say how many people you think or you can name that won gold medals in that games, right? Does that make sense? So you can bid. So say you think, I'm going to give you Olympics. If you say, I reckon I can name 6 people who won gold medals there, Robbie has to either beat it or let you try and name those 6. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah.
This place is not horrible.
Here we go. That's the wrong Olympics. Excuse me. I've gone to the Winter Olympics, which is the wrong thing. The 1980 Summer Olympics. Here we go. What's going on? So and then the Olympics I'm going to name is the 1980 Moscow Olympics.
Not going to do it. I can't.
Can you name one? Moscow.
Yeah, can name one. Can name two.
Two's your bet?
Well, no, I can probably go more than two if I think about it. We're going beyond athletics, or are we just sticking to athletics?
We're sticking to athletics.
I can definitely do three. In fact, no, I can't. I can do four, I reckon.
Four, okay.
Only four, Tom. Only four.
Well, yeah, but I probably only four. Yeah, I'm trying to think. No. If I think of Brit, we're allowed to go beyond running, right? Athletics, but beyond running.
Yes.
All right, five.
Robbie, can you beat it?
Nah, can I do one?
Here we go. Let's go for it, Tom. Let's do five.
Right, Yifter. 5,000 yep. metres.
Yeah.
Bailey Thompson, definitely.
Yeah.
Co and Yvette.
Yeah, so you just got one more?
Alan Wells.
Got it, five. Perfect. I think I'm going to give you five, an actual 5 points to put you into the lead.
What? Yeah. That's the rule breaking and changing that I like.
So, Robbie, you've got to step up. We're going to name the next Olympics. You choose this time, so you're behind the 1992 Barcelona Olympics.
Oh, I'm getting this round. I didn't realize it's just the highest round, the highest one. 92. I'm rubbish at the Olympic history, like the winners.
There's a couple of... There's a definite one absolute banker if you look beyond distance running.
Yeah, I know.
As a Brit.
Yeah. That's it. Let's have a think.
I'll give you some clues.
No, that's cheating. Don't worry. I'll lose. I can only... 92. One of the golds.
We had two Brits on golds.
I know one of them.
Yeah, so, I think we both know one of them. One of
them. I know who didn't win one. Didn't what's his name? Michael Johnson have a bad year that year. He gets ill. So he'd blame food poisoning.
Yeah, hang on a minute.
That's my knowledge.
See him in there.
No. I'll try two. Tom, can you name more than two?
I can definitely name two. Can definitely name two. I'm trying to think. This is bad, isn't it? This is probably the first Olympics that I remember.
I was 6 years old at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the good old the theme tune. Do you want to sing it?
Oh, no. With the fountains and the light behind them. And I reckon I can do three.
Can you beat that, Robbie? Can you go one better?
Do I lose? Like, how does it, if I try four, do I lose 4 points? I mean, you're making this up as you go along.
No, I make it to. I reckon it's a point for you. So I think Tom's on five, you're on four going into this round. So
you lose a point if you don't get it. You gain a point if you win it.
I just don't know enough people. Nah, I've just gone in. Tom, just name
Tom
three.
We lost Tom.
Name your three.
You want me to go? All right. Well, the one we definitely both got, Linford Christie.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Tanui.
Yeah.
Paul Tanui.
No, then, William Tanui.
Yeah, William.
See?
And then the 10,000 was it Chelimo or Khalid Scar? And I don't know.
Give you two.
He's got a name one. He's got Scar. You got it. Chelimo was second. Scar was first. So Tom has got another point. It's 5-5. 5-5. So we're down to the last round, which is...
Can you do some modern Olympics? That would have been like just ones when I was a small child and born. That's just bang out of order.
The people you forgot, this is a great Olympics. You forgot good old the hurdler from Britain. What was her name again? Sally Gunnell. You forgot world famous Marie-José Perec from France. We forgot Ruiz, the 800 meter runner from Spain. There were some great people. No, I'm looking. Deratu Tulu, the women's 10,000. Anyway. Anyway. The men's marathon winner. If you can win the men's marathon, you win. You basically win this whole quiz. If you can name the winner of the men's marathon in 1992, you can't name it. It's Hwang Young-Chu from South Korea. Anyway, last round, and it's we're moving into the world of celebrity now. So basically, I've got a list of celebrities who have run marathon times. We're just going to do two. Okay. You've got to guess as close as you can to the closest minute what their marathon time, their best marathon time is. Okay. So we're 5-5 at the moment. So I'm going to go with, as Robbie didn't win the last round, I'm going to go with him first. Robbie, what time did Oprah Winfrey run for a marathon?
I'm going to go with bang on 5 hours and 12 minutes for walking pace. No. 5:12 for Oprah.
I think that's ambitious. I think that's ambitious. I think she went 6:10. Oh, you're back.
I'm back.
All
right. Carried on going. And Tom decided to cheat.
Well, I'm not cheating. It's gone now. Right.
Is that from Oprah? Sorry, that my thing went there.
Yes.
Rob, I was surprised about the Oprah time. We Googled it whilst you were off. That is impressive.
And we have,
of course, like 29. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
So that's a point for Robbie, I think. I mean, I went 6:10, so, you know.
Oh, okay. That's cool then. So that's... I think, where are we now? You're 6-5. I think we have to have at least one more, but if it's down to a tiebreak, we'll do another one. I'm going to choose another celebrity.
You've got to choose one that Tom hasn't just Googled, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to go for a British celebrity type. I thought it was Elton John then. No, it wasn't Elton John. I'm going to go for... Oh, yes, here's a perfect one. Ronan Keating.
Ooh. Tom, you got to guess.
Am I going to... 3:54.
Okay, Robbie?
Right. No, I think he's gone quicker or slower than 3:54. Or that Tom's got it spot on because he Googled it 2 minutes ago. Oh, I'm going to go with 3:55.
The answer is 3:59:33, which means, Robbie, you are Let's Get Running quiz winner. You've nailed it. You're 2 points ahead. It's an insurmountable lead. So sorry, Tom. The bragging rights goes down to Robbie this time around. But hey,
this is it.
There's some great names on this celebrity list. I'm just rolling through now on Wikipedia. George W. Bush. Can you guess what he ran? As an extra little aside,
we can. We just Googled it.
Tom, you guess that. Go and have a guess, Tom.
Yeah, go on then.
Al Gore, 4:58. I mean, Al, that's not particularly
impressive. But maybe going slowly to reduce carbon emissions.
Exactly, that's right, yeah. Anyway, I should let you guys get on with your work. It's been fun chatting, though.
I've got one more for you guys, so you can guess it. Trying to get the exact time, but I think I know it roughly. Sharon Britton, my mum. What do you reckon she ran for a marathon?
I reckon 3:15.
I reckon 3:36.
You are both incorrect. It was about 5:10, 5:12. I get my running jeep from my dad, who did a lot of running with the police. I get my perseverance from my mum.
Oh, wow. This is a good one. I should just interject with this. Alan Turing.
Oh, he's a runner, isn't he?
He was good.
He went sub 3.
Yeah.
2:46.
That's it.
2:46:03. Yeah, I saw that last year or something. That stuff.
It was an anniversary, wasn't it? Because it was.
He was a possible Olympic candidate, wasn't he?
He ran the Amateur Athletics Championships in 1947. Anyway, we could be here all day reading these out. And it's not. So I'll let you both go. But it's been nice to chat. It's nice to do the quiz.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, nice for Robbie, maybe. I felt a bit deflated. But anyway, cheers.
I've never heard someone Sounds so bad about losing a two-bit quiz there, Tom. But
what's my prize, Sean? What's the prize?
Well, when this is all over, we can have a cuddle.
Oh, I'm all right. Okay, cheers.
Take back my correct answer.
I'll think of something. I think of a little prize to give you somehow. Maybe like a CD with all the previous episodes of this podcast on. Something like that.
I bet I would hate to be in your family at Christmas. I bet your presents are rubbish.
Yeah, they are, to be fair.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. I'll dig something out. I'll find it. But hey, been nice to chat, lads. And nice we'll talk again soon. On today's show, we're talking to James Turner from the University of Bath. How are you doing, James?
Hi, Sean. Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for inviting me on.
No problem. And you're from the Department of Health there at the University of Bath. Can you give us a bit of background on your kind of your area of expertise, or I guess your specialism over the last few years?
Yeah, of course. I'm employed as a senior lecturer in the Department of Health at the University of Bath, and I teach physiology to our undergraduate students. My expertise, I'm an exercise physiologist, but my specialist interest is in immunobiology. And originally, I did a sport and exercise science degree at the University of Bath, as it happens. I then went into a research strand, I suppose, and I did a PhD, which was focused on how exercise affects the immune system and how it influences aging. And then I moved away from exercise science for a while to do research into cancer immunology. And then I've come back to the University of Bath to lead a research group that addresses all of these questions that we're interested in.
Oh, great. So you said at the moment you've got sort of a study coming up that you're working on.
Well, lots of studies, really. I have a few PhD students who are part of the wider group, and our interests are either focused on cancer and how the immune system interacts with the disease and how lifestyle factors can affect the risk of developing cancer or influence the treatment of patients with cancer. Another theme is obesity and how that affects the immune system. And what we're talking about today, more specifically, is about how exercise can affect the immune system. So we've got these three broad areas that we're very interested in.
Great. And obviously, we're in the midst of lockdown. It's the midst of the coronavirus spreading across the globe. And I guess, although it's probably a bit self-indulgent for everyone to be worrying about their training routines and regimes, that sort of thing, as a runner, can we continue and maintain our running with a clear conscience, do you think, over this period?
Yeah, I think that's very important to stick to your routine as much. We know that there are so many benefits of being regularly active for general health and well-being. If you're training for a particular event, of course, you wouldn't want to let your training slip. And I think that the message is, so long as this exercise that you're taking part in is aligned with the government recommendations on social distancing, you're perhaps exercising once a day, and following the exercise, you're being careful with your personal hygiene, washing your hands if you've touched anything while you're out, I think you can have a clear conscience.
In terms of sort of the types of training people are doing, can we train in the same way as we always have? So you mentioned if you're training for an event, you maybe have a marathon coming up, maybe a bit further away because we know a lot of races are cancelled. Can we train in the same way for these events as we have been sort of in the past without a virus in our midst?
I guess with the current circumstances, there could be some logistical considerations over your training. But if we're just thinking about how exercise is affecting physiology itself, I think the message is if you're already training, continue. If you're already training quite hard, that would be fine to continue. I don't think you want to introduce anything too rapidly, but that would be the same in any set of circumstances, I suppose. And if we're particularly worried about how exercise could affect our immune system, it's considering all of those other things that influence immunity. So that includes sleep, a healthy sleep pattern, eating a healthy, balanced diet that is energy matched, perhaps, to the demands of exercise. And those other points that we mentioned earlier about social distancing and hygiene.
Yeah. And I've read an awful lot of articles out there kind of at the moment giving running advice on
on social media about, and a lot of them have suggest that hard training at the moment, we should lay off that hard training because it affects our immune suppression. It affects our immunity. What evidence is there for that? And where's that theory come from?
Yeah, it's a common misconception, and it's one that has been around since the 1980s. And I guess the start of this line of thinking was evidence from marathon studies in the 1980s. So these were human observational studies, and some of them were conducted very, very well. And the findings are reasonably legitimate in the sense of some of these studies have shown that people who take part in an event like a marathon report that they feel unwell afterwards, so that they have symptoms of upper respiratory tract infections like a sore throat or a cold or a cough. And those findings are robust in the sense of there are people who have reported those personal feelings. Other studies have even used control groups where there are people who were signed up for a marathon. They didn't take part, perhaps because of an injury. They lived with the same person who did the marathon. And so they've brought in these controls and they showed that, yeah, the people who ran the marathon said that they felt unwell. Mm. Other studies have gone on to take samples, usually throat swabs or nasal swabs. And what they have shown is that around one third of people say they feel ill. And that could be they've said that verbally or used a validated questionnaire that is robust. But when you look at the swabs, you find that actually about one third of those people again have a real infection. And other research has shown a higher proportion have a real infection. So maybe two thirds. But it's still quite a small proportion of people who have taken part in this race. And I think most importantly, that is not evidence for exercise causing those infections, because what hasn't been considered is the exposure to crowds of people.
Right. Okay. And is there any sort of any reason why that sort of people think that they're ill? Is have you kind of had any sort of has there been any people looking into why people there that you know people think they're ill rather opposed to actually having these infections in their bodies?
Some of this could be a natural concern that people might have. They know they've taken part in a marathon with thousands of people around them. There is evidence that symptoms of illness can happen even though you're not infected with something. So there's evidence that when running and the increased ventilation, you can have a bit of drying of the airways, and that can lead to some non-specific inflammation and feelings of having a bit of a sore throat. We all know what that feels like when you go out for a run and it's particularly cold weather. Mm. There is some evidence that viruses that are already in the body can reactivate. So you may have heard of herpes viruses, and one in particular called Epstein-Barr virus. This is called the kissing disease. And most people are infected with this virus when they're very young, as a toddler. And some people don't get this infection until they're a teenager, and they start interacting a little bit more with other people. And some of those people do develop glandular fever, as lots of people have heard about. But whether you get this infection when you're very young or when you're a teenager, the virus is never removed from the body. It stays around and it tries to hide from our immune system. So it's called a latent infection. And there is some evidence that very, very strenuous exercise can reactivate the virus. But that's a separate process from how exercise affects the immune system. So sometimes when exercise is very, very prolonged, like an ultra marathon, it can cause quite substantial changes to physiology. And it can cause changes in a process called oxidative stress. It can cause inflammation, and those processes can directly reactivate viruses. And this is a subclinical reactivation, and sometimes you get a bit of a sore throat, maybe a feeling of having a cold, but then your immune system kicks in and sorts out the problem. So that could be one reason why people say they feel ill, when actually, and when we test them with a swab, we don't detect the kind of viruses that cause a cold or a sore throat or an upper respiratory tract infection.
Wow. So that's more for the sort of the longer hard efforts, as opposed to say going out for a fast 5K. You're unlikely to wake, let's say, sort of latent infections with something short and fast like that.
The evidence is still accumulating, right. And it's likely that it's the very extreme end of the scale if exercise was to cause this viral reactivation. But as I say, it's a subclinical viral reactivation that doesn't go on to cause any other problems, but could lead to some symptoms. And again, one thing that we're not ruling out here potentially is a disruption to sleep, perhaps not eating in a way that is balancing the energy requirements of such exercise, and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. So it's the effect on the other things that more than the actual act of the exercise itself that might cause any problems like that.
I think so. I think in the vast majority of cases, people don't get real symptoms, and it's more likely to be things like airway drying, non-specific inflammation, or just a feeling of fatigue, to be honest.
Yeah. And let's face it, us runners, we all like a moan, don't we, really? Whenever a race comes around, I've always got something that's wrong with me. It's an inbuilt excuse generator that always comes out. So, yeah, it's just the runner's thing. And I read somewhere, I think it was obviously that Robbie Britton on Fast Running has done an article with you guys, which is kind of a bit summarising kind of what we're chatting about today. But he mentioned a study looking at and rats and a reduction in immune cell lymphocytes. Is it... In the window after hard sessions, is that the case? Do you have a reduction in these lymphocytes in your body after a hard effort?
Well, that's right. So following these human observational studies in the 1980s, there were then subsequent mechanistic studies, and some of these were in animals, usually mice or rats, and sometimes also in humans. And in human and animal studies, if you were to take a blood sample at rest and then ask somebody to run for, say, 1 hour on a treadmill under quite controlled conditions, and then you take a blood sample immediately after that bout of exercise, and then, say, 1 hour later, you see changes in the number of these immune cells in blood. And lymphocytes, it's what they're one type of immune cell. And there's lots of subtypes as well, types of cells that are really good at killing virus-infected cells, other types of cells that can produce soluble factors that can help to eliminate pathogens. And as you say, there are some studies that have shown that the number of these cells in blood 1 hour after exercise can be lower than at baseline. And that's been shown in human studies and in animal studies. But what the research has revealed, as our methodology and understanding has improved, is that 1 hour after exercise, if the number of these cells is lower than normal, it's not because the cells have become damaged or because they've been deleted or they've died. It's because they've moved out of the bloodstream and they've migrated to other tissues where their function is most important. So studies in animals have shown that when you do a bout of exercise, the number of these cells actually doubles or triples, and it's the same in humans. So immediately after a bout of exercise, there's a doubling or tripling. It's just that 1 hour after exercise, the cells go below normal levels. That's because they've left the bloodstream. And animal studies have shown that many of these cells might migrate to places like the lungs, and that makes sense because of the increased breathing rate. There's a chance that you might breathe in more pathogens. When we say pathogens, we mean perhaps a virus or bacteria. Yeah. And we've mobilized those immune cells into the blood and then out of the blood to these tissues where they're more likely to encounter these pathogens, and they can help to deal with the problem.
Ah, right. Okay. So almost to a certain extent, strengthening your ability to ward off these pathogens.
Yeah, we think that is the case. And some of these animal studies have now moved away from looking at problems such as upper respiratory tract infections and have moved on to other issues such as cancer. And what these studies show is that bouts of exercise mobilize the immune system, and they help cells of the immune system leave the bloodstream and move out to the tissues where they're more likely to detect the tumor. And these bouts of exercise are helping the immune system to find the tumor and kill those cancer cells. So we think that exercise really helps this natural process of what we call immune surveillance.
Okay. So, to a certain extent, for us runners, that in this period, maintaining our current regime, keeping a few Bihar sessions in there, sounds like it actually there's a benefit to us for sort of warding off the coronavirus, I guess.
Well, I think the coronavirus is a very special case, and it is a very serious infection. I think when we're talking about the kind of normal infections that you could pick up, then being regularly active and undertaking bouts of exercise can certainly help keep your immune system functioning well. I think if someone was to become infected with coronavirus, and if they were to exhibit all of those symptoms that we now know represent the infection, then bouts of exercise are probably something that you wouldn't feel able to do in the first place. And it's probably better to rest up and let your immune system do its job and hopefully help you fight off this infection. But the points we were making earlier really are that if you do take part in mass participation events, like a big marathon, you are potentially putting yourself at a greater risk of infection, not because of the exercise bout itself, but just because you're potentially interacting with so many other people. And that's the basis for these government recommendations for social distancing.
Okay. Okay. So we may see the rise of the solo virtual 5K run as opposed to races over the next 6 months.
Possibly, or maybe race organisers will be able to keep people apart by a couple of metres and extra hand gel all the way around the races and an emphasis on good personal hygiene.
I was going to say, is there anything we can sort of learn then from this period? I mean, hopefully we'll all come through this period. I guess not everyone will, but it once we come out of this next, I don't know, 6 to 12 months, and having coped with the pandemic, if we're able to, what do you think as runners we can learn to keep ourselves fit and healthy, I guess, and ward off these bars, other than, I guess, doing less races?
Yeah, I think that there is a place to be mindful of your training regime. And I think that suddenly changing the demands of your training, it can cause you to feel unwell, as we talked about earlier. It can affect your sleeping regime. It is very important to eat in an appropriate way so that you're not in a period of energy restriction. But I think that it is worth keeping that in mind. We have published a paper where we got elite cyclists to double their normal training load. And we did show that some of these exercise-induced responses, where we were talking earlier about exercise mobilizing our immune system, we did show in these participants who doubled their training load that the ability for exercise to stimulate their immune system was slightly impaired. Exercise did still stimulate the immune system in the ways that we've been discussing, but that ability was slightly impaired. So it's certainly worth remembering that exercise can have very powerful effects on the immune system, and you need to adopt all those normal processes that you go to design your training regime accordingly. I wonder if in the future there may be a greater attention paid to social distancing within these mass participation events. We've been writing about this for a few years now, emphasizing that probably the reason there are these reports of people becoming well after marathons is because of the interaction with all these people. So perhaps something will change there.
It's interesting. I think, like, obviously with football and stuff at the moment, with all the games cancelled, and I don't think we really realize how big sort of it'll be an AC and BC before Corona and after Corona with a lot of these sports and things, and how it's going to have to change how we kind of reorganize ourselves. I guess it's going to be an interesting period over the next few years, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I think that also we're living currently at a time where there's a particularly infectious and particularly dangerous virus around. And even if people are taking part in marathons and they do pick up a virus such as rhinovirus, which causes the common cold, then most people have the capacity to deal with that. But of course, for some elite athletes on a very strict training regime, that can certainly hamper your training plans and is not desirable, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you keeping fit during this next couple of weeks? Have you got are you able to get out and run? Is running your sport, or are you prefer other endurance activities?
I'm a retired field hockey player, and I now play in a team that develops the youth, shall we say. I'm probably in the middle age of the team. We've got teenagers who are about 12 or 13 who will probably end up playing for England and are far better than me. And then there's people in their 50s and 60s, and we just play once a week on a Saturday. So it's a shame, but understandable, of course, that the hockey season has paused. I normally go to the gym as well and do a lot of spin classes, but of course the gym's also closed. So now I am having to turn into a runner. And I'm fields in Bath, and I'm telling myself that I'm enjoying it, but it's not quite the same as a hockey game.
You'll click in at some point. You'll find the love, James, I'm sure. Well, thanks a lot for chatting. I know you've got a lot of work on sorting out various things within the university to ensure students get their teaching remains on track. So I'll let you get on with that. But thanks very much for coming on to chat about immune suppression and running for us. Thanks a lot, James.
Thanks very much for having me anytime.